Let's bow our heads for a moment in prayer. Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my mind will be acceptable, not only before you, but before your people. Spirit of God, help us to put aside all the distractions that we have today. We've already prayed that when we were listening to your word read, but in this very moment, as we focus on the message that you have for us this moment, help us to really listen for your voice and no one else's. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Over the last four Wednesdays, we had a Bible study that we were doing on prayer, and we talked a lot about prayer and what it means and when we should be praying, how we should be praying, and I found this little prayer I wanted to offer today. And it's a prayer when somebody is thinking on their own to God. It's almost a reflective prayer, I guess, in that sense. So far today, God, I've done all right. I haven't gossiped. I haven't lost my temper. Haven't been greedy or grumpy or nasty or selfish or overindulgent. And I thank you for your help. I'm really glad about that. However, in a few moments, God, I am going to have to get out of bed. And then from then on, I'm probably going to need a lot more help. Amen. Every day is a challenge for us, even before we rise. Every day presents challenges to our faith. It's a struggle, really, when we think about prayer, and we talked about prayer in our study time, to think that getting through the day without prayer, without trusting in some ways to God. And this week, we didn't mention it with the kids necessarily, but this week coming will be Halloween, and Halloween for us in so many ways is also a reminder, which I've never put the two together until in the last even just few years, about Reformation Day, the day in which Martin Luther sort of declared his concerns about the Catholic Church was on October 31st. And for some, we spend time reflecting on that, and it's an interesting thing to do because that day birthed the new understanding of what church and life in Jesus was going to be like. It made us who we are to this very day because it changed how we do church, how we pray, how we read our Bible, how we are in relationship with God, how we are entirely Jesus' followers. And so when I was looking through the lectionary readings from the Revised Common Lectionary, and these came up, it was easy to almost see this connection with harvest time, with the abundance of God, and then came this gospel lesson out of the sort of other things that were being talked about. And this situation that arises with this Pharisee and this story that Jesus is telling, and this example that he's using, it's interesting because I know I spend a lot of time giving the historical context, and there's a reason that I do that. Because it's easy for us to read these scriptures thinking about things the way we think about them today. And sometimes I think it's helpful for us to try to understand them in the context of the time in which Jesus was speaking, to see maybe just a little different understanding of what's there. So the two people that he uses in this example, in this lesson that he gives, this parable that he uses, the Pharisee and this tax collector, were well-known characters to these people. The word Pharisee, or the name Pharisee, means one who is set apart. So it's not just a religious leader, it's a kind of religious leader, because we have the Sadducees as well. There's another sort of subset within the Jewish faith. The Pharisees were the ones who were set apart. So you have to understand how they lived their life to understand what he's praying for. He is not saying something particularly bad. In our context, he might be. Well, thank God I'm not like them. But to him, that was a holy prayer. Because they were supposed to be set apart. I briefly mentioned it one time a few weeks ago. The Pharisees, when they walked around in the city of Jerusalem, had their own walkways. There were bridges that went over the streets, so they would not come anywhere near a place where they would be made unclean. They were going to be, in their mind, set apart as the perfect example of a follower of God, of one of God's chosen people. So they had a ritual cleansing they went through every day. They had a ritual way they ate. They had a ritual way they walked. They had a ritual way they spoke. They were so concerned with being clean before God and righteous in that sense before God, they would have to go through a ritual cleansing if the shadow of a leper crossed their path. That's how concerned they were with following the letter of the law. They were set apart. They understood what it was to be set apart as God's chosen people. So when he prays, "Thank goodness I'm not like all these other people," he's saying they don't understand what it is to be set apart. They're just regular thieves and rogues and adulterers and even tax collectors. They have no understanding of what it is to be a true person following God's way. Thank God I'm not like them. Walking blind. Walking unaware. Living a life that meant nothing. My life is dedicated to God. And the tax collectors, I've mentioned already a number of times, further to that, the tax collectors were other Jews collecting money for the occupying nation of the Romans. And they bid on their job. "I will collect the most for Rome." And there's a closed bid that would be offered, just like today. And instead of the lowest bid, they're going for the highest bid. "I'm promising I will collect 15% of what everybody earns." He's really going to collect 20. Because the other 5 is how he gets paid. Nobody likes these guys. They're highway robbers working for the bad guys. They're stealing from God's people and giving it to somebody else. And then pocketing anything else they can. Boy, they are the lowest of low. 2 great examples that Jesus can give to the people of his time. What is the issue here? We lock in sometimes into the fact that the Pharisee, "Thank God I'm not like the other sinners in the world." What a terrible thing to think about other people. The problem, really, is with how they're praying. And the good thing about what's in this lesson as well is how they're praying. The Pharisee, because we just read just recently about fasting, just a couple of weeks ago, and putting sackcloth and ashes on and standing on the street corner so everybody knows I'm working hard at being good before God. The Pharisee in this example story is standing in a public place loudly shouting out his prayer that he should be praying. "Thank goodness I'm not walking around unaware of how I should be before God. I don't want to be like them. I want to be right before God. And I want to make sure everybody knows that's what I'm praying." The tax collector, the lowest of low in their context, is saying something quietly before God. Realizing really who he is before God. Realizing very much, "God, be merciful to me," as he even says, "a sinner." And you know, again, hard for us to read that statement today through the lenses that we have in our modern time. "Thank God, be merciful to me, a sinner." We don't want to hear that word sin. We don't want to listen to that word sinner because it has all of this. It's kind of, I always think of Pilgrim's Progress when I think of things, of words like this. If you can imagine the story of Pilgrim's Progress at all, Pilgrim in that story had this rope tied around him, and on the end of this rope was this gigantic bag of stuff. And it weighed more than he did. And in the story, he's just laboring to drag it along with him. Eventually, he realizes, "I don't need to keep this with me," and cuts the rope and carries on. Life is better. But it's that baggage that drags us down when we hear that phrase, "God be merciful, be a sinner." I have to tell one very short story about when I was working years ago, and we got into a topic for some reason about going to church. And there was about 3 or 4 of us in the room at work, and this one lady was working on her computer, doing whatever she was doing, and we were just having we're waiting for something to finish. I don't know what it was. We just get into casual conversation. "Yeah, I go to church, and I go to church." And this woman, without even looking up, said very loudly, "I am not a worm." Of course, we all had to stop because we're just talking about going to church. Where does this worm thing come from? So as we got her calmed down because she was quite agitated, Turned out she was an Anglican. In one of the Anglican prayers, "I am a worm." It's a quote from one of the Psalms. Going to church for her represented being told she was a worm, and for her, that was an assault on her character. We'd unpack all that. That was her pilgrim's big bag of stuff she was dragging around. When she heard the word church, let alone sinner, she associated that with it. We do the same thing, folks. We do the same thing when we read these parables of Jesus, and when we read scriptures very often, we drag stuff around with us that helps us, prevents us from seeing the message that's there. How these two people were praying is what Jesus' point is, not what they were praying specifically. How many times do we make sure we do things that other people notice and don't even think about it? How many times are we told, make sure people notice what we do or don't do? As opposed to quietly and in our hearts, coming before God. I remember going years ago, a friend of mine and myself went to an old-time Pentecostal prayer meeting. First, I was really new going to church. It was quite an eye-opener for me. I had very little church experience at that point. My friend had, this is the church he was had been going to, and I recall the pastor speaking at the very beginning of the evening. It was an evening service, and he told us that we were going to have a prayer time together, and everybody stood up, and they started out loud, and it was a cacophony, and any church experience I'd had at that point was, let's bow our heads. This was completely the opposite. There was shouting and yelling, and at the very end, the pastor said, "Amen," and they all sat down. And to this day, I'm still astounded. I'm not judging those people at all. I really am not. It just struck me at the time, wow, this is loud. This is very showy. Where's the humility before God? Where's that quietness before God? Because they never really did that, ever. There are moments when we can be joyful and expression and share, but there are also times we have to remember it's time to be quiet. It's time to be before God, remembering the grace of God. And to me, that's what faith is about. That's why today's sermon is all through faith. It's not through how we do things or even what we do. It's that act of faith and the grace of God in our lives. And it can be loud, it can be quiet, it doesn't matter in that sense. But we need to be honest before God. And if nothing else, that the tax collector in that story was quiet and honest before God. You know, Martin Luther, the sort of the father of the Reformation, wanted to get closer to God as a Catholic. And he became a monk for a while, thinking that this lifestyle of what I'm going to do and this act of in front of everybody is going to make a difference, being a monk. And he found that it didn't for him. He found that it didn't do what he was hoping to spiritually. It opened his eyes of how bad his lifestyle had been, even though he was trying desperately to be holy. And he began to question things. He began to actually read scripture himself. Something that we take for granted today, but was unheard of in so many ways in his time. And it brought about what we now know as the Reformation. We need to be faithfully before God all the time. We need to be doing all things through that grace of God's love in our lives and the faith, the gift that God gives us. Martin Luther said this in closing, "When I look at myself, I don't see how I can be saved. But when I look at Christ, I don't see how I can be lost. All things are done through faith in Christ." It can be loud, but we need to be quiet as well. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this lesson that Jesus has for us. Help us to really see what's underneath all of this. and not just look at the obvious. Boy, I would never say something like that, or I wouldn't feel good about saying something, well, I'm glad I'm not like them. And we do that sometimes, Lord, but in the case of this Pharisee, he thought he was right. He thought he was doing the right thing. But the point was he wasn't. He wasn't being himself before you faithfully. In this case of this tax collector, who nobody expected to be doing that, was. Realizing where he was in relationship with you. Help us to understand that, Lord. Help us through faith to understand exactly where we are before you and other people always. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Ministry, and the life that God calls us to, that we want to put the title ministry, is most fully carried out when our hearts are full of love and justice and generosity and sharing what we have with others. And so now is our time when we do that. This act of giving is our time to present ourselves, our offerings, and our tithes to God. We do that now.